Welcome to Becoming Limitless. This is the podcast for entrepreneurs who want to optimize their brain and their body with biohacking. I'm going to teach you how to eliminate brain fog and upgrade your health so you can have more productivity, energy, and growth in your business. I'm your host, Tanessa Shears. Let's jump in. Welcome back to the Becoming Limitless podcast. I have a fun episode for you guys today. So earlier in the week, I announced on Instagram that I was wrapping up a 30-day no sugar, no flour challenge, and I was going over all of the really cool benefits that I noticed along the way and how I feel and my attitude towards food. And then I asked, would you guys be interested if I did a podcast on like what the challenge is, how it works, and what it's like to go through it and experience it firsthand? And it was like a resounding yes. So here I am recording this episode for you. So we are 2 days after finishing the challenge right now. So I have been taking notes, kind of like a diary throughout the challenge, so that you can get the experience of what it's like and decide if this challenge is a good fit for you. So not only am I going to be going over what it is, why I do it, what the benefit is, but you're going to be hearing along the way like thoughts that I had when I wanted to give up, how I overcame them. So I want you to think of this as like your challenge guide. But speaking of challenge guide, I put together something super neat. If you head over to my Instagram right now, at Tanessa Shears, send me a direct message and say, hey, I want the 30-day no sugar, no flour challenge guide. If you head over to my DMs and do that, I'm going to send you a link where you are going to be able to get a PDF guide that is going to tell you the decisions you need to make before you start, the purpose of it, the mindset you need to be in, and all of the related podcast episodes I have done in the past that will motivate you or make this no sugar, no flour challenge a heck of a lot easier to do, including episode 24, which is called No Sugar, No Flour, What the Heck Do I Eat, right? Because that might be your question. It's like, what do I eat if I don't eat sugar and flour? Especially if you have, you know, you eat a lot of pasta, you eat a lot of bread, right? That's one of those natural questions. The first time that I ever did a No Sugar, No Flour challenge, I remember sitting in bed with my husband, looking at him and being like, what are we going to eat? Because we eat a lot of bread, we eat a lot of spaghetti, we eat a lot of pasta. What are we going to eat? And that episode will definitely answer all of your questions. So go check that out. I will make sure I link that in the show notes as well. But all of the episodes that you're going to want to tune into that'll help you understand the science of this and the why and all of that, head over to Instagram, DM me or just DM me about it. Ask about it. Say, I want that 30-day challenge guide, and I will make sure that you get that. Okay. So let's dive in. What the heck is a 30-day no sugar, no flour challenge? I mean, it's pretty intuitive the way it sounds. It is going 30 straight days eating no sugar and no flour. Now, this might stir up a lot of thoughts at the beginning of like, oh my gosh, that's a long time. I have a barbecue that I need to get to. No worries. We went to multiple barbecues, birthdays, family events, and stuff like that during, and I'm going to walk you through kind of how I made my decisions in there. Because specifically, I want to tell you about the purpose, about why this challenge is so effective. Now, no sugar, no flour. I also call it no drama, because I like to think of this first and foremost as a mindset challenge. Another way to think about it is sharpening the saw. If you ever heard that analogy of like, after a while, a saw gets dull, and if you want it to continue being as effective, you need to sharpen it. So I use no sugar, no flour as a way to strengthen my discipline. Now, in the last calendar year, this is the fourth 30-day challenge that I have completed. Now, why is this a discipline challenge? Because as you'd expect, when you go through this, you are going to find that you are going to get resistance that comes up. Your brain is going to want to be like, oh, this doesn't matter. This isn't important today. Why am I doing this? This sucks. I feel terrible. Your brain is going to give you all of that garbage, right? And this is the invitation for you to learn how to get better at feeling uncomfortable. So I find the way that how we do one thing is how we do everything. Meaning, if we are letting discomfort run how we exercise, if we are letting discomfort decide what foods we eat, it is likely showing up in our business too. Maybe you're procrastinating on something, or maybe you always choose the easier task first, or there's that big project you know would move your business forward, but you're kind of putting it off because it just feels really big or overwhelming, or like you don't know where to start. I love to keep my discipline very sharp. And to me, discipline means when I say I'm going to do thing one, two, and three, I do thing one, two, and three. Now, this does not mean those things are easy or I always enjoy how I feel while doing them, but I am constantly working on building self-integrity, meaning when I say I'm going to do something, I do it. And I love being able to rely on myself. And it wasn't always that way. Like, I have failed some of these challenges in the past. I have obviously skipped workouts. Like, I've done that. And I know what it feels like to just be like, oh, I know I'm not going to do this anyways. I don't even know why I start these things anymore. Like, I never want to say that about myself. And so by doing these challenges, it allows me to be more disciplined with my mind and with my focus. And this has beautifully translated. It's interesting. As I've gone through this challenge, I have become much more disciplined in my business and in doing the tasks that are hard but are the needle movers. It is such a beautiful opportunity to get to work, experience discomfort, make decisions for the larger goal, for the bigger vision of your life, and get to work, right? Like, I always think, like, let's go. Put me in the path of some discomfort and I will come out stronger. I will come out better. And this is an identity that I have developed largely through doing a lot of these challenges. And so I know that my brain is going to give me all of this drama. So that's why I also say it's like, hey, no sugar, no flour, no drama, meaning my drama is not going to dictate how I participate in this challenge. And I totally expect that it's going to come up. So number one reason I do these challenges, and it's actually the reason I started by doing this challenge, was because I was noticing that there were some things in my life and my health that I was just kind of letting myself off the hook, and I just don't want to hold that as a standard for myself. So I knew it was a beautiful opportunity for one of these challenges. Now, the second big reason that I do this is to kind of do a reset and a stabilization on my blood sugar and my hunger hormones. So right before we went into these challenges, I had come off of my one-year-old's birthday party. We had my sister-in-law's birthday. There was a couple events in a row where I just felt that there was too much indulgent food. Like, you know, when you kind of are like one thing and then you don't mean to do it for a little while and then it's the next and then the next and all these things back up one to each other and you're just like, I don't feel so good anymore. Like, I can feel the effects on my sleep. I can feel the effects on my energy. I feel foggy. Like, I don't feel my best. And I knew it was because of some of the foods we had been eating. And then just naturally, the more you eat those things, the more it screws with your blood sugar and screws with your hunger hormones. And that is when you start to feel like that is more normal than you would like it to be. So by doing this challenge and really taking out all of the processed food, right, that comes with sugars and baked goods and pastas and breads and flours and all of that kind of stuff, it allowed me to give my body a break from that stuff and allowed my blood sugar to stabilize. I've done a lot of blood sugar episodes. If you want those episodes, remember, go DM me on Instagram. I'm at Tanessa Shears. Let me know you want the 30-day challenge guide. And in these episodes, I talk a lot at length about how when your blood sugar is not stable and you're eating a lot of, you know, high sugar, high flour processed foods all the time, and you're not mitigated with proteins and stuff like that, you are going to get inflammation. And this inflammation and this crazy changing blood sugar is what is affecting your energy and your focus, right? And this is why this whole thing matters for your business. Yes, it matters to your health, but it matters to your business, not only in the discipline aspect, but if you find that you're constantly hungry, like you eat breakfast and then like an hour or two later, you're already snacky and you have snacks at your desk all the time. And even though you tell yourself they're healthy snacks, right? Maybe there's grapes or almonds or whatever like that. You constantly need to eat and you're even pre-eating because you're so nervous about what might happen if you were to go, you know, 4 hours without eating, and you're just like, if I'm in a meeting, my brain will go and I won't be able to focus and I'll be hangry. Like, if this is you, this might be a really good invitation to try this challenge, right? So if any of those are affecting you, this is affecting your performance. If you cannot stay focused, if your energy is not stable and you are having dips in the afternoon, this is a challenge I invite you to take. It is not easy and it is meant to be that way. Is it meant for everyone? Probably not, but this is for the person who is really like, I have had enough, I'm willing to get uncomfortable, and I'm willing to dive in. Now, what I want to say this challenge is who it's not for, it is not a weight loss challenge. Hear me very clearly on that. I this podcast is all about building your energy and building your focus. The tips that I give you are about making you feel good in your body, making you feel really clear. I don't want you to look at this as like a really quick fad diet. This is meant to be a reset to get you back into a better place. It is not something you will necessarily sustain long term, although some people do choose to do that. If you're coming into this being like, ooh, this will kickstart my weight loss, this is not the challenge for you. I want you to think, my energy's a mess, I'll try this out. I don't have control over my hunger, I'm gonna try this out. My focus is iffy, I'm gonna try this out. My discipline needs work, this is the challenge. You get what I'm saying on this? All right. So I'm going to go through some of the decisions that we need to make when it comes to this challenge. Now, the first one is you need to decide to do it. And I've mentioned this on the podcast before. I love the element of surprise. And here's what I mean by that. Sometimes we go, yeah, I'm going to start things on Monday. And it gives you like 4 days to like stuff your face with everything in the house and all the chocolate that you need to get rid of before this challenge starts, where you really wouldn't have even eaten that in the next 4 days anyways. And you use it to kind of clean out the fridge and just overindulge. I generally recommend going with the element of surprise, being like, cool, I'm starting tomorrow. Great. But the only way I would say don't just do that start tomorrow is if you don't have any food in the house. You need to have healthy food that you can cook and be ready to eat. Now, I did start my challenge on a Monday because I decided I wanted to do this on a Sunday. And it was just super like, that's the next day. Let's go. So you need to decide to do it. And you need to decide how long. 30 days is what I like doing. It's a calendar month for the most part. It's super simple. You can do it however long you want. However, here is what I recommend. I would never do a challenge less than 2 weeks, because I find it is not until the 2 week mark that you start getting the clarity and the energy and you're like, this is why I do this, right? Give yourself enough time to get through the tough stuff and then experience the good stuff. So in general, 28 days, 30 days, 50 days, whatever it is, just decide ahead of time you're going to do it and decide how long you want to make it. The next decision that you need to make is what you mean by sugar and what you mean by flour, because this is one of the most common questions I'll get. It's like, well, does juice count as sugar? But what about the sugar in ketchup? But what about artificial sweeteners? Here is my take on this, and then I'm gonna tell you what I think you might do. So I do not drink juice. I do not do sweeteners like stevia and erythritol. I don't do those when I come to this. I don't do any type of baked goods, added sugar. I don't add sugar to coffee, any extra sugar. Here is where I loosen my boundaries a little bit. I am okay with sugar in condiments. So think things like salad dressing, ketchup, barbecue sauce. That is the personal way I make decision on things. I personally also eliminate honey. Now, this is not to say that you have to make your decisions this way. I just decided that for me, the dressings and stuff like that are what make the salads better, and they're what make the, you know, the stir fries tastier. And I'm okay with that because it's not like I'm pouring mass amounts into my mouth. It's a little bit on the side, right? So that's the decision I have made for me. Now, you don't need to make that exact decision, but you do need to decide, what is your take on honey? What is your take on sweeteners? What is your take on sauces, dressings, and juice? Make those decisions ahead of time, because if you do not, what'll happen is you'll be standing there and you'll be like, I think honey's okay. And then you'll start using it as a crutch to help you bridge this gap and like numb out on your discomfort. So whatever you choose, decide now. So for me, like I said, I am okay with condiments, but I do not do sweeteners, juice, and honey and stuff like that. Okay. The next thing I want you to do is make your decisions on flour. Now, for me, I eliminate all sources of flour. Some people choose to just do gluten-based flours. But if you think about it, there's, you know, tapioca starch, there's corn starch, there's corn flour, rice flour, potato flour. Like, honestly, there are so many different types of flour, almond flour. So you need to decide ahead of time what you mean by flour. When I do these challenges, I eliminate all types of flour. Here's my thinking behind that. If I'm looking at this as a blood sugar challenge, I do not want things in my mouth that affect my blood sugar on an exaggerated level. Think about this. If you rewind back to grade 8 science and you were looking at surface area and reaction time of an experiment, right? The larger the surface area, the faster the reaction time. Well, flour in its nature is a plant. When you grind up a wheat berry and make it into flour, or you grind up a rice kernel and make it into flour, or whatever it is, it increases the surface area, which means absorption happens faster, which means this affects your blood sugar even more. So for me, the purpose is I want a blood sugar reset. So I personally cut out all flour, powdered based flours, no matter what form it comes in, all right? So I say no to sugar, except for condiments, and no to flour. So we need to make decisions on that. The next thing you need to make your decision on is alcohol. Now, here's the reason for this. If you are just getting your feet wet in this and you just want to do one thing at a time, fine, you can have alcohol, that all works great. Here is why I decide no alcohol. Because when you have alcohol, it is metabolized first, which means that any food that you eat around alcohol, with alcohol, gets metabolized last, which means you're going to have more fluctuation in your blood sugar. So again, it really goes back to understanding the reason why you're doing this challenge in the first place. Are you doing it to manage blood sugar? Are you doing it for discipline? It doesn't matter what decisions you make. Really take the weight off of that and think it's more important about what decisions I make ahead of time, and then am I able to follow through and stick with them. There are two more points that we need to discuss before we go into kind of what my experience was going through this 30 days. The next one up is really looking at what foods you are going to be adding in if you remove sugar and flour. Because I want you to think about this. I'm gonna make up some numbers here. Let's say you're eating 2,000 calories a day, but you have been eating a lot of, you know, pastas and breads and stuff like that. If you just remove that stuff, you might be removing half of your calories, which means you are now accidentally under eating. This will plummet your energy. It'll affect your focus. You will feel jittery. You're going to get cranky. You're going to get headaches, all of that kind of stuff. And this experience is going to be absolutely miserable. When you do a no sugar, no flour challenge, the goal is not a calorie reduction. We need to start thinking ahead of time about, hey, what foods am I going to replace all of this missing sugar and flour with so that my body still gets what it needs? So again, episode 24, no sugar, no flour, what the heck do I eat? Whole bunch of foods in there that you can use to swap. And the other thing is that this is not a low carb challenge. Hear me on that. We eat at our house beans. We eat rice, we eat quinoa, we eat sweet potatoes. You know what I mean? Like, those are all carbohydrates too. I am just no longer eating processed carbohydrates for this. So do a double check with yourself. Make sure that you replace those carbohydrates with just healthier carbohydrates that don't affect your blood sugar as much. So the overall point, make sure you're eating enough food, because if you just cut it out, you're gonna feel lightheaded, you're gonna feel cranky, and you're gonna feel hungry. And this is going to make you It's going to make it a lot harder. Let's just say that. You're going to have a lot more discomfort than you signed up for. And this may increase your chances of just being like, I don't want to do this anyways. All right. So the last thing I would recommend is, if you can do this alongside with someone, do it. If you can get a buddy involved, if you can get your partner involved, your sister, maybe one of your older kids, like if you can get other people doing this with you and exchanging recipes and, you know, oh, how are you doing today on this? Honestly, it's going to make it so much better. So I have done nearly every one of these challenges with my husband, and it is just nice being on the same page. But this does not mean if you cannot get your partner on the same page that you shouldn't do it. It is going to just be one of those things where, hey, use this as an opportunity for a little extra self-discipline. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to walk you through. I took notes over the challenge on how I was feeling, what I was struggling with, when I was cranky, when it got easier. So everything you need to know to do the challenge, I've already told you, but this is just going to be kind of a walkthrough on maybe a little bit about what to expect as you go through it. Because if you need that motivation and like, Tanessa, remind me why I'm doing this, remind me the benefit here, you're going to hear them all firsthand. So let's start off at day one. Day one is easy, right? You're excited. You probably just listened to this episode. Maybe you went over to Instagram and got my guide. You're like, I can do this. I've done this before. This time's going to be different. Your brain is creating thoughts and sentences that are motivating, right? You can do this for, like, of course I can do this. Day one is all about feelings of motivation. I can do this. You can willpower the cravings away, you know, if they come up, like, I've got this, right? So day one, that's how I was feeling. But strolling into day two, holy cranky. I felt like, I've talked about this before on the podcast, but I literally have felt like I had bees buzzing inside of me. And that's how I've kind of identified my discomfort feeling and my anxious feeling. It literally feels like someone has let a beehive loose in my torso. It's uncomfortable and it's buzzy. I was so cranky that day. I remember saying to Flynn is my husband, I remember saying, like, I feel so terrible right now. I just want to eat everything. Why are we doing this again? This is dumb. Maybe we'll just do 2 weeks. And I noticed that was one of the first things I did, was I remember trying to negotiate with myself and be like, you know, I don't actually need to do this. This is just for fun. And you know, your brain starts to offer all those excuses. And I was already cranky. And I just was like, I just want to eat. I'll start again tomorrow. And my brain was doing this. So here is the warning, honestly, for most people, days 2 to 5, is I need you to prepare for the bumpy part of the road. Your brain is going to negotiate. You're going to feel uncomfortable. You're probably going to feel hungry because your body is so used to getting these high sugar foods. It doesn't know how to access body fat for fuel yet, right? It doesn't know how to dine in on body fat. So you're feeling miserable, maybe. Maybe your miserable won't hit till day 3, but almost everyone that does this goes through this time where they're like, ugh, I just want to eat. So here's my point. Prepare for it. Prepare for your brain to be so sneaky. And I want you to think about it like this. Decide on day one that whatever version of you shows up on days 2 to 5 doesn't get to make any decisions. Tell yourself, you know what, we're going to wait till day 6 till we make any decisions about if we're going to stop this or change any rules or anything like that. Because day 2 to 5 version of you does not have your higher interest at heart. It is cravings. It is immediate hunger. It is immediate gratification. It is alleviate this discomfort. That's what your brain is designed to do. So you need to be prepared that that is going to show up and negotiation is going to happen. So day 3 to 4 happens, at least the cranky past for me, right? I'm like, okay, I'm moderately discomfort now. I have maybe 3/4 of the amount of bees flying around and I'm going to keep busy. And so this is what we started doing on day 3 to 4, was we decided we were going to literally go into my office and haul all the stuff out of the closet that we needed to sell and get rid of since the last time we moved. Like, we were like, okay, let's organize. Let's declutter some of the kids' toys. We were keeping busy. This is something that is going to help you, because if you're just sitting around thinking about food or I really want a big sandwich or a plate of pasta, yes, it's definitely going to be more challenging. So if you can keep busy, if you have a busy day at work, this is all good, all right? Keep reminding yourself you're not going to die. And even though your brain is like, this is an emergency, we feel terrible, you are not going to die. I promise. And don't let this scare you away from doing the challenge. Wait till you hear the end and what I feel now that I want to share with you. So on day 3 to 4, the other thing I started noticing were the danger zones, meaning the times of day where I found the chatter in my brain and the physical discomfort like reach all-time highs during the day. And for me, that was 1:30 p.m. And I noticed it because on the first day, I was like, oh, interesting. It's 1:30 is when my brain starts going, we need a snack. We need a break. We should lie down. We should get cookies. We should do all of this, right? But it was the second day after, I was like, oh, interesting. 1:30 is when both girls go down for a nap and I have some quiet time. And my brain's like, ooh, you deserve this. You should reward yourself with some food, right? And yours might be after dinner, after the kids go to bed, after you finish your meetings for the day, when you shut down your computer. I want you to figure out where your danger zone is and then prepare for it. So after day 4, I was like, okay, mentally, I know 1:30 is coming. My hunger and my cravings are going to ramp up here. This is normal. I didn't do anything wrong. I just have to remember that me at 1:30 is not allowed to make decisions anymore. I am making them ahead of time. And so this is something I was prepared for. So I wasn't so like, oh, this is awful. What's gone wrong when it showed up? So day 5, so on, I guess that would be if we were doing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Day 5 was Friday. I was over the hump meaning the hardest part for me had passed. Day two was terrible. Day three, four was really uncomfortable. But day five, I kind of felt like, oh, I'm over the hump. That was the worst of it. And this is the experience I have had time and time again. On top of that, the bloating was gone. Oh, you know that feeling when you just feel bloated after eating a couple meals, or like you've eaten something that disagreed with you and you kind of feel distended. Like by day five, the bloat was gone. And I noticed during that time that even though the bloat was gone, I noticed subtle feelings of feeling anxious or tired. And I remember hearing this thought, food would be nice. I would feel better. It's this really annoying, like underlying tired feeling just because my energy systems are shifting. My body is relearning to focus on using fat as fuel instead of always getting highly processed carbs during the day. And I would feel better with food. Some crackers would be good right now. Yeah. Or let's go get some cookies. Like I could hear my brain. And this is the coolest part about this challenge, to be honest, is when you start hearing your brain talk to you and you deciding you do not have to listen anymore to that brain if it does not serve you in where you want to go with your life. This is how you develop your discipline, right? By day six and on to day seven, I noticed my cravings were now what I would call mild. Whereas on day two, they were intense. By day six and seven, they were mild. I remember thinking instead of like anxious, I just remember thinking like, that would be nice. But it was a thought in my head that wanted food because it was so habitual to think that way. But this time, the craving didn't reach my body. So you know when you get that craving in your body, I described it as like bees buzzing in my body. Yours might be a little different. This time, I thought, oh, food would be nice. But it was a sentence in my head and my body felt nothing. So what this is telling me is that my body is no longer interested in all of these wild blood sugar swings, right? By day seven, I started feeling settled, like, yes, let's go. I'm ready for the next 3 weeks. It didn't feel as daunting or so long or like, what am I gonna do? My tongue wanted sugar. I kept noticing that. Like my tongue was like, I wanna taste something sweet, but my body was neutral. And I also remember thinking too, as I had accidentally left one of my husband's boxes of granola bars up on top of the fridge, and they're like those really unhealthy, like chocolate dipped sugar granola bars. And I remember looking up at the fridge and my tongue being like, oh, those would be good. And my body didn't actually crave for it. But I remember thinking, damn, those chocolate granola bars on the fridge. Like, so the point in me telling you this is, if you have food in your house that is going to make you have to confront a thought that is like, I want that, put them out of sight. Tuck them in a drawer, back of the fridge, somewhere you will not see it every time you open a drawer or walk into your kitchen. This box was sitting on the top of the fridge, so it needed to go. So I did hide it. Now, lessons so far of what I have learned, I wrote this in my notes here, is it is going to be more and more important to have food planned, prepped, and ready in the fridge. Meaning if you're just winging this and going through the week, if you make your food decisions when you are having a craving, this whole process is going to be a lot more difficult. So I need you to make sure that you are thinking ahead about food preparation. So inside my Becoming Limitless program, I actually have something called my brain food method, which is all about eating according to your energy and your focus. And it goes over my signature meal planning system. So if this is something that you need help with, send me a DM or, you know, go and click one of the website links in the description of this and you can read all about that program if this is something that you actually need help with right now, because my system has helped so many entrepreneurs kick the sugar habit, eat a heck of a lot more healthy, and stay consistent doing it, right? So anyways, make sure that you have that food planned and prepped. There had been times popped up where I wanted something sweet, but I just told myself, hey, I'm just gonna eat lunch first. I'm just gonna eat dinner first. And I found that when I did that and I just, you know, ate that dinner first or the lunch first, the cravings often quieted. So just make sure you promise yourself, I'm going to eat my next meal. And that for me always helped. Now, the next issue that we came up to right around day 10 was explaining this to family. Now, we ended up having a barbecue with family around day 10, and we had decided going in that we 100% are sticking to this no sugar and flour. And we found that we were having to explain this to people because they were like, don't you want cake? Don't you want the spaghetti? Don't you want this? So when it comes to explaining to your family or to your friends about, hey, I'm not participating in this right now, what we actually just said was, we're just taking a break. We've had enough for a little bit. And it was interesting. My husband actually was the one who came up with that. And I just thought it was such a beautiful way to say it. And that's what we ended up saying a lot at that barbecue was, you know what? We have had enough right now. We're just taking a break. And people were like, oh, okay, cool. And then we just ate the stuff at the barbecue that we were able to eat, right? Meaning we were able to have the chicken, and we were able to have the steak, and we were able to have the rice, right? And the potatoes. Like, you can find ways around things when you are creative. And the other thing is, you can also just go to a barbecue and not eat. I know that's a crazy concept, and some people are like, you can't do that, but you actually can. You can eat before and go and just enjoy the social activity and think of it as, maybe this event, maybe I can make it about more than just the food. I can make it about my connections with my family, relationships I'm building, attention that I'm giving to someone, and not have it be about what I'm eating to make the experience. Just a little bit of a perspective shift that I thought I'd offer for you there. So that was right around day 10. And I also noticed I was having conversations with my husband that, like you were saying, the cravings are in the mind and not the body anymore. By day 13, I had noticed that I was down 3 pounds. Now, I know I said this is not for weight loss, but one of the byproducts of actually going through this is when you naturally reduce a lot of the processed foods you eat, your inflammation goes down. And when inflammation goes down, you're no longer so puffy and your body's not holding water weight. And some people will say, well, yeah, that's just water weight. Well, of course it does. Our bodies are hoarding abnormally amounts of water in our body because we are so bloated, because we are so consumed with processed food that there's all this inflammation going on. So heck yeah, when you remove the processed food, the bloat drops with it. So this is kind of when I was like, all right, I'm starting to feel lean, like leaner than I have in a little while, right? Let's fast forward day 20. And also, here's what I noticed. I stopped taking notes as much because I forgot that this was a thing I was working on. It was starting to become just something I did, who I was. I didn't notice the drama. So I actually didn't write any notes for a whole week. But on day 20, I found myself, I had fries. Now, theoretically, these fries were made with avocado oil and they were just potatoes, and they technically did work. But what my brain was doing, I noticed, was it was using the fries as a means to an end to indulge just a little bit. Now, I didn't have an issue with this because technically it is no sugar, no flour, but here's just a red flag I want you to watch for. Are you over consuming something new to help you get through this? Now, I've seen clients actually do this before with fruit. Like, they'll really get into overeating grapes or overeating watermelon or overeating bananas, something that is also very sweet, in order to get through the discomfort. Now, I noticed I was doing it with the fries, but because it happened just once, I was like, that's interesting. I see you, brain, and we're gonna keep going. But if you notice by this point that you're like, ooh, I've been doing that regularly, ask yourself if you are just doing this in an escape of the discomfort when really the whole goal was to bring up the discomfort so that you could learn that discipline, right? Day 23, the notes that I had written here was, I have minimal desire for junk food. Oh, do you know how freeing that is to say, I have minimal desire for junk food? I was feeling super lean, super healthy. The other thing that I had noticed is that I had written here that, like, my PMS going into my cycle has been way better. It was one of the first cycles in a while where my migraines, they were gone, right? I was getting, you know, small headaches or even full-blown migraines in the couple months before, and I was trying to figure it out, but they didn't show up this time. In addition to not having the mood swings and the irritability, and the sleep disturbances have been cut in half. So normally in the last, you know, 7 to 10 days before your cycle starts, it's totally normal to have more wake-ups during the night, trouble falling asleep, feeling like you're overheating during the night, but that had been cut in half. And I found that it was usually the last 10 days I experienced all that, but now it had shrunk to the last 5. And this is like a doubling of the quality of life that I would experience during that time, right? And The other thing I kept noticing is that subtle well-being is the new currency of my decisions. If you don't know what I mean by subtle well-being, go listen to episode 94. It's called Pursuing Subtle Well-Being. And I noticed that my brain was just chasing feeling good and like, ah, I love feeling like this. I can't believe sometimes the decisions that we make when we know that this feeling is out there. We just got to get over the difficulty in getting there, right? And I was just feeling really good, just well-being, right? And I was asking myself like, well, it's day 23. What do I want to eat in a week? And the answer was nothing different. I mean, it'd be nice and it would make eating out at restaurants easier for sure. But the difference is now I feel like I'm in full control of my eating decisions and it feels great. Like the anxiety I experience is gone. I feel really chill. I noticed how productive and present I was feeling, right? It's amazing what life is like when you're enjoying just your life and feeling good and in control and your cravings aren't running the show and you're enjoying your life when it's no longer centered around food, when you take out those intense pleasures that come with sugar and flour. It takes a lot of what we think of as joy away from food. And that means whether you're at a family barbecue, whether you're at an event, or just in your life, you need to learn how to get the joy from your life and not just from food. And I have written this down here. My life is way more fun than food. And I was like, what a cool takeaway, right? So at this point, day 23, I'm always amazed at how fast it's gone by. Like in the beginning, that first week really drags. But by the third week, I'm like, that went really quick. There's only 1 week left. And I know I've thought this every time, right? And it is at this point that I get the feeling that I craved when I started this. The feeling that I knew was on the other side of the hump, right? This is what I'm constantly reminding myself during that first week when I start out the 30 days, just get over the hump. Just get to day 14, and then everything after 14 is a lot smoother. And by day 23, that 1 week to go point, you just feel good. Oh, it is so good, right? And this is that feeling I want to share with you and invite you to experience for yourself by giving yourself the gift of making it here. And it is not easy, but I know you can do it, right? Day 30. I have notes here that say it's the last day and I have no desire to run out and eat anything, right? Because at the beginning you're like, oh my gosh, 30 days and then I'm gonna go have spaghetti or I'm gonna have a pizza or whatever like that. But it's really interesting when you get to this place where you're like, the reward isn't the food at the end. The reward is the feeling I'm feeling now. Am I willing to give that up for a short-term gratification that comes with food that leaves me feeling bloated and uncomfortable and headachy and my sleep's disrupted and my energy's a mess and I can't focus and I get tired in the afternoon and all of that kind of stuff. Like, is it really worth it anymore? And the answer is no. It is such a different life perspective being on this other end. And the real gift is food freedom. We think that food freedom means not eating junk food and then just eating healthy all the time. But no, the truth is not thinking about food at all. Really being free from food means you're not always thinking, oh my gosh, I have to eat healthy today. This is so hard. These cravings are so hard, but I'm eating healthy and I'm fine. No, that's jail. You are in food jail if you are thinking just as often about eating healthy as you are about eating crap food all the time. Food freedom is not thinking about it at all because your higher brain is making the decisions about your health and your joy in your life comes from somewhere else outside of food, right? It's that take it or leave it attitude with food. It's like, yeah, it's there and I'm okay if I don't have any and I feel good about that, right? It's consistent energy, right? And knowing this feeling of like, my energy is what I need it to be to enjoy my life, to go for walks in the evening, to hit the workout, to be present with my kids, right? I also noticed through this challenge, and keep in mind it's the fourth one I've done in this year, that I feel the lightest that I have in this entire year. And I don't mean on the scale light. I mean that sense of like lightness that comes when you just take care of you, that feeling of eating good food, the well-being that I talked about in episode 94. Now, except for that day that I had barbecue with some family. We had some meat that day that bloated us pretty good. There was something funky about that. The bloat is gone. I also ended up upping my workouts to 4 strength workouts per week when I used to do 3. And this was just because I was feeling good, right? I had more energy, more motivation. I was like, yeah, I like doing good things to myself, right? So that was a huge win. We really doubled down on our walking daily after dinner, which is a wonderful thing that helps stabilize blood sugar as well. Really weird thing that I did not expect to happen. Like, I've had 2 babies and the skin on my stomach is loose, right? It hasn't quite bounced back to its natural pre-baby weight. It's been stretched out twice, right? But I actually noticed that the loose skin in my stomach began to tighten up a little bit. That was something I totally didn't expect, but I was like, interesting. I will take it. And like I said, with my monthly cycles, I got no migraine this time, no mood swing day, and it was awesome. So day 31, which was actually yesterday, I went over to my parents' house for dinner and enjoyed a beautiful homemade pizza on regular flour crust. And I remember sitting there being like, I'm going to enjoy this. And I remember thinking like, it's not that great. That's so funny. My brain was like, oh, this is, you know, I'm going to have this now. It's going to be too, and I'm just going to enjoy this. And my brain had worked it up and I was eating it. And I was like, I guess I wasn't missing out on anything after all. But the decision I noticed I did make was I would normally go for 3 slices of pizza. I was content at 2. So not only do your taste buds readjust, but your satiety, your fullness, right? When we eat carbohydrates, it is so easy to overeat. Right? Because think about this, you ever had Thanksgiving dinner and you eat so much food and then you're like, I'm so full, I can't eat anymore until dessert comes out and then you find room? That's the weird thing about carbohydrates. But in this case, this has allowed me to reset my hunger, my satiety level gauge. And I was like, you know what? I'm actually full on 2. And so that was another wonderful gift that I noticed last night. So up next, what's next now that I've done these 30 days? Well, going forward, I've already made the decision ahead of time that I am going to keep it to only 1 to an absolute maximum of 2 meals per week that have sugar or flour in them. And honestly, this is going back to what I call normal in our household is, you know, we usually have a Friday night and maybe a Saturday afternoon where we'll have, you know, spaghetti one night or we'll have pizza or something like that. And it's 1, maximum 2 meals per week with sugar or flour. And this is something that has worked very well for us long term. But going into this, I just feel like 1 to 2 doesn't feel like a restriction anymore. It feels good. And I'm also thinking maybe I actually don't even have to take that anymore. Maybe I'll just decide if something is really worth it or I'm going out for a meal with family. I just don't want to go back into that place where I feel like food is controlling my decisions. But I also know, beautiful thing, that I can always return to this challenge as a reset, as I have done so many times in the past. I don't ever look at this as like I'm always going to be no sugar, no flour forever, although some people do and it works great for them. But this is something that acts as a reset and helps me feel so much better. Other things going forward is I'm currently reading Fast Like a Girl by Dr. Mindy Pels. And it's all about fasting lengths, meaning how many hours a day you eat and how many hours you don't, according to the menstrual cycle. Because obviously, men and women have different hormones. We cannot eat in the same windows. And actually, as women, our hormones change throughout the month and our windows should change throughout the month too. So I'm really starting to invest in that and play with that now that I am no longer pregnant and no longer breastfeeding, because I have been for practically the last 4 years, right? My blood sugar feels really stable now. And for me, this just feels like clear head, stable energy, and being able to go 5 hours between meals. So it's kind of fun. So I'm reading a lot on that right now, and that's kind of where we're exploring. But that has been the summary of the 30-day no sugar, no flour challenge. Really, it's just as easy as doing no sugar and no flour for 30 days. But I thought I'd give you a fuller experience by talking you through some of the things to consider beforehand, some extra podcast episodes that'll help you fill in the gaps, making sure you're eating enough high quality food, and my day by day walkthrough of the experience when it got hard, the things I was telling myself, and the benefit and the payoff at the end. I hope this has been really helpful for you. If you are interested in doing one of these 30-day no sugar, no flour challenges, can you head over to Instagram, even if you don't want the guide, and just send me a message being like, I'm starting 30 days. I am excited and I want to cheer you on. I would love to hear from you during the challenge and know what the wins are, what you're struggling with. This stuff is always so exciting for me, and I don't want you guys ever to feel like you can't reach out to me on Instagram or anything like that. Like, I love having conversations. Don't be intimidated. I am here to answer all of your questions. And of course, if you want to take this work deeper and not only just get the how and the what, like what we've been talking about, but you want that consistent support through coaching inside of my program, and you want someone, you know, to do this with and to have the accountability and to have someone help you tweak and modify when you get stuck, the Becoming Limitless program is the go-to program for 6 and 7-figure entrepreneurs who want to double their energy and their focus. So like I said, there's going to be links in the description or, you know, a quick DM on Instagram, and we can see if this program would be a good fit for you. I hope that you guys have a beautiful week. And if you start this No Sugar, No Flour challenge, may all the energy be waiting for you on the other side. Take care. Bye.
Learn something new in this episode or feel inspired to take action? I'd love for you to share it with a friend and leave a review. Your review will help one more entrepreneur feel healthier, more energized, and focused. If you feel good about helping a friend or a fellow business owner you've never even met, you are my kind of people. I'm excited to help you become limitless in the coming episodes.